This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of the Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's welcome in our former Blues, Darren Kimball and Jamie Rivers. What's going on, fellas?
Good morning.
A little more like hockey weather out there. We got a little snow, a little ice. Kimby's boy was trying to play baseball this weekend in this hockey weather.
Crazy, isn't it?
It's nutty.
Did they play or not?
We played on Saturday, and they forgot to inform us that they canceled all the games on Sunday. So we get over there all the way over to the place where we're going to play, and guy goes, "Hey, we're not playing today." I said, "Well, thanks, guys."
That did you nice say it. Bullshit? Get out there.
It was good. It was good, though, because once we left probably an hour later, the snow started coming. So I guess it was good.
Come on now. Tell me. All your years up in Canada, tell me you never played baseball in the snow.
Yeah, but it was, no.
I know I did.
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Jesus.
Our baseball was, you know, when you're playing with little towns though, that we were playing in, you could start it later. And so it was, we weren't starting until after, into April, May sometime, you know. So I didn't have one of them freak storms coming like you get around here.
Now, you know what we like to do up in, I don't know where you're from, but when we were kids and
Lucky
we got,
Lake.
I know where he's from. Are you kidding me? Lucky Lake ambassador right there.
His face is on the billboard when you pull into town.
But when we were kids and it would snow, which was a lot, we'd always get in shit for it too at school, but we'd play full contact soccer. So you'd have, you know, the big fluffy snow and you have your soccer ball, and then you'd play 5-on-5. It basically was hockey. It was an excuse just to friggin' plant each other is basically what it was. You'd run around head
on. No boards.
Because you think about it, like when you lean into a soccer kick, like you're already back on your heel, one leg, and some dude would just crush you. And then like, teachers got wind of it. I think there was a little bit of blood from time to time. And then they kiboshed it and started.
That's when then you'd come into after recess and you'd come in and your clothes were all muddy.
Oh, yeah.
That's that
soaking wet. Yeah.
Crazy.
Up to your knees. And some teachers be mad. You need ice packs and bandages.
And that hurt getting hit in the face when it's that cold out.
Especially with somebody else's head.
Yeah.
Imagine you guys had some epic snowball fights up in Canada, eh?
We used to, my brother and I used to, where we lived, we had a big old pine tree. I mean, this thing was massive to the point where I could climb all the way up the tree and get on the roof of the house. And it was a two-story house.
That sounds safe.
It was real safe. My parents loved it. But underneath, it was so thick underneath, right? And the snow would come. And so we'd always shovel the snow over towards the tree. And then at one point, we'd dig a hole from the one side where you can't see. And we'd make a fort in there to where, like, you couldn't see anything from the road. And we would build or make like 100 snowballs. And as people walk their dogs, we just start firing them, like, randomly. And they could never figure out where the hell they came from. And, you know, I feel bad now because I know we pinged a few people, pinged a few dogs in the day. And I know my dad came out one time and pinged us with a foot in the ass for doing it. But it was fun, nonetheless. Hopefully my kids aren't listening to this.
That's a free pass for them.
Yeah, trust me. They don't need a free pass.
Well, there was some hockey played this weekend, though. I mean,
kind of.
Maybe. Well, I was going to say, we went 50-50. And I tell you what, where did all these goals come from, for Pete's sakes?
Well, let's address something first.
Okay.
Before we get to the, you know, popping the champagne and all that stuff again. To go, this is where this year's team probably gets frustrating for everybody, not just the fans, but the coaches, the general manager, the ownership, everybody involved, even the players, to go from a performance where you have 16 shots on net only in a game. Now, mind you, I understand that San Jose is a very tough building to play in. Really tough building to play in. I've always said it. Anybody you ask, the first period especially, feels like you're just under siege. However, 16 shots total. That's not good.
No.
So they had to do something. Then they come back against L.A., and this is like the Jekyll and Hyde, right, of the Blues this year, is they do 16, they get 16 shots on net, and very lackluster, look like, oh, my God, you know, this is really getting bad. Jake Allen was fantastic, though, so we'll hit on that later. I know, Kimby, you probably got something there, chewing on your fingers, about it.
Already
ready to go over there.
I said it this morning.
He's cleaning out his mustache. He's ready to go.
Jamie's got that. He's got you bugged somehow. I think he already knows our conversation.
I'm not bugging that body
here
anytime soon. Good Lord.
Check your lapel.
That's why my ass is itchy.
That's why I got stains on my elbows. All right, so back to the game. And then the Blues come firing out, and they put in 7 goals. And Jake Allen, once again, looked great. Unfortunately, at the end, they take a stupid penalty, Schmaltz, with the slashing call, and then, you know, they put out non-penalty killers, which I never understood, by the way. At the end of the game, I know they put Thorburn out there for the power play, and they put guys who don't get power play time or as much. I get that. But I don't get the penalty kill. Like, why the hell would you do that? Honestly, and I'm not going to just be totally negative, but I'm watching Yashkin on the frickin' penalty kill with I don't even know who else, and then... Like, why would you do that to your team, first of all? Sacrifice maybe giving up a goal, or do that to your goalie who's finally just put two great games together.
Yeah.
And you let them get an easy goal because maybe somebody didn't have their coverage proper. Anyways, I'm not going to dwell on that. But, yes, we come back with a 7-2 victory. Kimby?
You know, it's like you just said the whole time. It's all over the place. You're here and there. But the good thing is, for Blues fans, the Blues usually go this year anyway, if their goaltender goes. So Hutton was going for that stretch of period, you know, where Hutton was playing well. And the last two games, Jake's played really well. But he's throwing back to his old form here. So if he stays in that thing, in that kind of form, I think, you know, tonight's obviously a huge game because this is one of the teams. It's a 4-point game, that you know how that goes. But if Jake can keep playing that way, because they're not going to score 7 goals every game. We know that a little. And I'll tell you what, it's sort of, and I told Chromes that when I come in here, it's sort of fool's gold, because if you think you're frustrated in St. Louis Town, the Los Angeles team, that's frustration. They're going through the same thing I think the Blues are going through, because that's a loaded team over there on that side. When you look at it, they got all the talent in the world. They're big. They got the goaltender, you know. They got everything going. And you don't know what the hell is coming out the door. They don't right now. So it's sort of fool's gold you're playing with, because LA gets in a, you know, they get in a little rut. They run into a hot goaltender. Jake's playing well, and all of a sudden the goals start going in. And, you know those games are when the goals go in, they just go in from everywhere. So it was good for the Blues. Hopefully the confidence can get built, because, Christ, they need some kind of confidence for the shit that's going on right now. So they got some confidence. Jake's playing well. Tonight's a huge game. Every game's going to be huge. You know, I listened to Bernie on there. They're going to have to win, I forget what Bernie said, 12 of the 16 games or whatever they got left. And he's probably right, because you got to jump a lot of people right now.
Problem is it's a combination, right? Yeah. So you have to, if you want to talk about winning, just to win to get enough points to mathematically, like, really give yourself a chance, well, yeah, it's 12 games. Now, if you take into consideration that maybe some other teams slump, this, that, the other, maybe it's easier. Right now, unfortunately, the situation they've got themselves into, it's not going to be easy.
No.
So now the next thing I'm curious about is why, and God, it's hard for me to do this because Mike Yeo is a longtime friend of mine, and I love the guy, but I just don't understand how and why it took so damn long to put Tarasenko back with Schenn and Schwartz. I watched a game the other day. The scoring chances that they created, and I know Jeremy Rutherford put out something there about this analytics crap to do with Yashkin as far as, like, oh, well, he creates, but the body of work, this is what I wanted to talk to JR about, because he's like, oh, well, this says in the numbers. Well, the numbers are based upon like 60 shifts as opposed to 280 shifts or a 200 shifts together. Like, you can't compare that. Like, if I go out and play, I could play with Schwartz and Shen for a game and maybe be analytically unbelievable. Maybe. I doubt it. I mean, I'm a stretch. However, I think you get what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
And so then finally, and I don't know if Coach Yeo was basing his decision upon analytics. I sure hope not, because Yosi's an old school guy, man. He came up the tough way. And like, I hope it was something more than that. But when you put them back together, it was special. Mm-hmm. It really was. Now, I know they scored, what, two or three goals, their line? Mm-hmm. But every time they got the puck, they were dangerous.
Yeah.
They could have had four or five goals as a line. So, Kimby, tell me, like, why would it take so long? And then, secondly, would you keep it this way or would you tinker with it again?
Well, I don't think he can tinker with it right now, because you're a do or die right now. So, he's got to live. I'm thinking the only thing I can think of why he did it, do you feel like you're running one line and he's trying to get the other lines in the ball game? Is that probably that's why he did
it? I agree.
You know, he's trying to spread it out. And
do you think he used the analytics?
Well,
do you think so?
I hope not. I don't even know what analytics are. I know what they are. The guy in Carolina, the guy just fires his damn GM, and it's just off, but he just fires it and he's going by analytics himself here, and I'm going, what are you doing, you moron? You're sitting here in a playoff. That makes you money when you get into the playoffs, and you just got rid of your GM. So now we're gonna have a guy with probably a tenth of the money Jerry Jones has got, and he's going to try to run his damn hockey club down there. And I'm going, geez, you're a fool.
Well,
but anyway,
yeah,
that's analytics.
We'll get back to that because I want to hit that after. Yeah. So Chrome's earmarked that conversation.
But okay. I think you're right. You got to hang and bang with your big boys right now. Everything's on the table. Along with that too, the guys get sent down, these young guys, and I know that, like, obviously they've chosen to go with the crew they got, right? They're going to finish the year out that way. And I was just hoping some of these young kids would have popped in the scene. But, oh, well, this is what it is. If they get there, they get there. If they don't, this is the crew they lost with. Now they can make their changes. But, obviously, they better ride the one line, because that's all the shit right there.
Yeah. And, I agree with you that I think that, you know, Mike Yeo was probably trying to spread out the offense a little bit just because he didn't want them to be just a one-trick pony. Now, you know, the analytics side, and we're going to go back to this analytics thing. It's supposed to be used as a tool that would give you extra information, not primary information. Now, I know there would be arguments from the analytics side that say, well, the numbers give you the answer right away. There they are, black and white. Okay, but they don't, because there's still a feel. Like, you and I both know that there's pretend players, mm-hmm. and they're talented, and so a guy that is talented, that can skate, that can move, he may end up being an okay player. But you and I both know that, like, he's really not going to produce anything.
Yep.
He's not going to crash the net, because there's no analytic that says, oh, he crashes the net good. There's no analytic that says, oh, he deflects a lot of pucks. Like, we're talking about getting into this in the future, the analytics of really breaking down the game so that we can use them effectively for real hockey players. But I just don't understand how, like, in this day and age, and we're going to go to Florida last year, okay, because this is so jam-packed of great information. Florida Panthers declare, we're going analytics. So Dale Tallon, who assembled, in my opinion, the best team in the last decade, the Chicago Blackhawks, okay, and I know that pains people. People right now, they're bleeding inside for in Blues Nation. However, we talked about it before. They've won 3 Stanley Cups in 10 years. He got Toews, Kane, all those guys, okay? He put them together. Now, Stan Bowman came in and, you know, whatever, took over the group that he drafted. Mm-hmm. But you got Dale Tallon, who's a GM in Florida. You got Gerard Gallant. Gerard freaking Gallant.
Coach of the year this year.
Unbelievable coach the year before. Kim's in. And then you go analytics on a guy who's old school players, coach, motivator.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to motivate your decimal point.
Yep.
Basically what they're trying to say. So they give Tom Rowe, who's a greasy little bastard to start with. Okay. This guy, honestly, I tell you what, he's never met anybody he didn't walk away talking about, and not in a good way.
Yep.
He comes in as a GM And then all of a sudden, their analytics, and they start to suck. And how about that? They fire Gerard Gallant, leave him in the fucking parking lot with his bags where everybody takes pictures of it. Finally, they got to turn the page, get rid of Rowe. I don't know where they've sent him. They said they didn't fire him, but he must be scouting. He must be scouting hockey players in Portugal.
Hopefully not even doing that.
You know what I'm saying? And so Dale Tallon steps back in. And the Florida Panthers, where are they? They're right on the border of being in with three games in hand on both teams in front of them.
And be careful of them because they're playing really good hockey.
100%. So now fast forward to the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah. You got Ron Francis. How many Stanley Cups? Two?
At least two with Pittsburgh.
At least two. Maybe three. Was he with Carolina?
Might have got one in Carolina, too.
Okay, so three. Let's say three.
Possibly three.
With Carolina. Captain of the Hurricanes. Assistant coach. Moved up to general manager. Hockey guy.
Because Roddy Brindamore was captain, wasn't he, when they got it there?
Yeah, but he was a captain after, I think.
Yeah, he might have come back later.
Anyways, he was a captain somewhere.
Yeah.
My point is, you got a guy who's a hockey guy.
For sure.
Who knows the town.
Yeah.
And, in my opinion, had put together a pretty good team based upon their finances. Yep. And they were in the playoffs.
Yep.
And now you got an owner who comes in.
Doesn't know the game.
Doesn't know shit. And he's going to be touting analytics. And now the most embarrassing thing, and I want your opinion on this. On Twitter, I read that the Carolina Hurricanes, I had to double check because it even had the blue check mark, so it came from them. The Carolina Hurricanes put out there that if you're interested in being the general manager of the Carolina Hurricanes, submit your resume with the link attached.
Did you send yours in?
Did you send yours?
I sent three in, okay? However,
yeah,
far have they fallen in a week.
Exactly.
Kimby, can you imagine?
What,
Hall of Famer, who's a GM, and now you're asking the public to put out a freaking resume.
But look what analytics are, though. The guy in Phoenix. So
Shaka Khan?
Yeah, you got Talk down there who's played on all these Stanley Cups, played the game the hard way, did it all. Fought, scored, did everything. Talk did. Great leader. So he could probably right the ship to a certain point. But these analytics, realistically, Rivers, and I'm not going to be far off. Like if you're a guy in the game or played the game, you can figure the shit out when you're watching people. You get it. Analytics, I believe, and I'm not trying to be an asshole by saying this, but are for people that really aren't involved in the game. They think they know the game. They've never played the goddamn game, so they got a way to justify why he could be a GM because he can do this stupid shit on a computer and say this is what's going on. It basically, analytics always reminded me of the plus minus, the stupidest stat that it doesn't tell you how good you are defensively.
Correct.
Or whatever. So that's where I always compare analytics to. If you're a hockey guy and you're using the analytics to assess a player and to make a player better through that process, I understand that maybe because all you're doing is breaking video down and you're going in that direction.
That's all it is.
It's people that a GM or owner in Carolina, as we're going to go, he bought into the analytics shit but you watch, that team will just falter, like Florida, falter. You need a guy that knows his shit. And I could go out, Rivs, you could put out 100 kids on the ice, 50 that don't play hockey and 50 that played hockey, and you would figure it out. It would because you've lived around the game. I've lived around the game. We'd look at it and say, yeah. And then out of those 50, you could still find 25 that have played it more than the other 20. You know, and I'm not bragging on it, but when you lived it, you played it. It comes down to heart and a lot of that. But that don't get into your analytics. Your heart doesn't. So I don't just buy into it.
Is there an analytic for how big your vagina is? For some of these guys, to be completely honest with you.
Where did that come from?
Well, I'm just serious. I mean, that's my whole point. I mean, you're now, talking
porn,
about how much
porn 101.
I'm just, I just
porn
seriously.
Pornhub, does that porn hub.
Twister wasn't lying last week. That's some weird shit going on here.
This pisses me off. My analytics and hockey. All right. Give me a fucking
Here's
break.
My comparison for analytics, and you guys can...
Are we on the Pornhub stuff still? Or are we
always go back to that. I mean,
Twister scared him into it.
Jesus, Chrome does nothing but look at that the whole time anyway, so it's a little distracting. I didn't know they could do that. Anyways, to me, analytics in hockey is like having the accountant in a major business, right? So you think of, let's just bring up Amazon, okay? That's a massive company. They have it. I know they have multiple accountants, but let's just simplify and say they have one accountant that runs the numbers for Amazon. Does that make him equipped to be the owner of that company and to run it properly?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You need somebody who can identify, can use the numbers, to make a company good. Then identify the employees who are best suited for what job and to dictate who's doing a good job at what they're doing. You might be unbelievable on paper, Kimby. You might be. But sure, you might be the biggest asshole to walk through the office and everybody hates you.
Yep.
Do you think as a business owner, I'm going to want that? No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to find somebody who analytically matches up to you and is a far better person. I'm going to get rid of you.
Yeah, correct.
So that to me is like hockey and analytics. You have your accountant who, here's the numbers. Now do what you want with the numbers. That's the way it should be.
And when you go to the Carolina thing, as much as, what's his damn name? I just threw it. Who's the cat? What's his name? Who were we talking about?
Francis?
Yeah.
Francis.
As much as I just blocked me for a second. As much as Francis knows about the game, won the Stanley Cups and everything, and you're running a team that is right on the bubble of trying to go in there, though, why would you go pull this bonehead move? Like, at least go to the end of the year, bring in your scientist that you got to do this shit, and let him run down. You know what I mean? But
screwing
the players.
Look
though
at the three teams, okay, that have identified themselves. Florida identified themselves as the analytics team. Boy, that worked out well.
Yep.
Carolina, not working out, and Arizona.
Arizona.
So tell me, when you look at the standings for 2 years, how's that treating you? Sorry, Chromes, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you guys because,
my question first. Well, how's that treating you?
It's not real well.
Okay, good.
Okay, so analytics, it's taken over like other sports.
Here's
my question, though. Like, one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen is, and God, I can't even think of the name of the show now, but the one where they were following the teams on, HBO? They were following the
24/7.
Hockey team.
24/7.
Yeah, so... The coolest thing I saw, they were following the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I think they did it leading up to the Winter Classic. Isn't that what they did? Is that how they did it?
Yeah, they did like 6 weeks in a row.
So what I thought was really awesome was they would show the GM and the coach, and they'd have a meeting, and I guess, and you guys obviously played and went through this, but I thought, how much analytics do you need when it seems to me like what they do to you guys is they basically watch the tape. And they watch you guys, and they basically call you in and say, hey, what's going on here? And that's why they talked about how, like, these guys that loaf and don't do this and don't do that, it's hard to get away with it because they're just going to call you in the office and say, wait, what the hell's going on here? So what the hell kind of analytics do you need when you're on tape either doing your job or not doing your job?
I told you what it was. It's people that aren't involved in the game. They can bring themselves to the game with all this bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's not the
popular thing right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And the guy in Pittsburgh, and you know, he's won. I can't badmouth him because he's won two Stanley Cups here in the last. He's back-to-back. He's sort of on the – he's a guy that reminds me of – a hard-nosed guy, but also on like a school scientist.
Yeah, but you know what he's done effectively is just what I was going to say is he's taken analytics and used it as a supporting tool.
Yeah.
So now he looks at players, the eye test, they call it. So we'll just say like scouting, okay? They scout the players. They have his staff. He has a group of people that surround him, including our buddy Billy Guerin, who's a hell of a guy, Mark Recchi that's involved with them. And you watch and they identify what players they like, or even in season, what players on our roster look good right now. Let's see what the analytics say about it too. And they match it up. This guy's shitty right now. Why? Let's watch him. Well, he doesn't look like he's giving an effort. This, that. You identify the hockey problems first, and then you go analytics. Well, here's where I can tell that he's lacking in in drive, or he's lacking this because his puck possession numbers are shit. So that tells me he's uninvolved, just like I'm seeing on the video that he's uninvolved. He's really, truly uninvolved. He's not effective because I'm watching on the video that he's not getting any shots on net. Well, guess what? His analytics show me that in the offensive zone, he's generating nothing.
Doesn't Babcock talk a lot about that shit, though?
You know what? Babs is an interesting person.
Yeah, he's out there. He talks a lot of stuff like that.
He does. And this is hard for me because I'm not a fan.
Yep. I'm not a total fan.
I played for the guy. What I'm saying is he does use it kind of in combination.
Correct.
He's not all or nothing.
He's a different bird.
Either way, he's probably not going to be the guy who shows up with flowers at your funeral. Yep. So, anyways, moving on.
Any analytics? So for you, If you were going to coach a team, how would you do it? Like, if you're coaching the Blues right now, how are you going to do it?
Surround myself with, which I think they've done. Quite honestly, they've surrounded themselves with an incredible scouting staff. Look at the players they've provided. They've drafted. Even the development, we talk about Chief Berube last year developing the guys in the minors. I think they've got, you know, the younger, the bottom half in age of the team, I think has been handled pretty appropriately.
Yep, I agree.
Where they're running into some obstacles, in my opinion, is the top half in age, the veteran guys, we'll call them. We're not getting that night in, night out performance from them. And you want to take a perfect example is a guy like Kyle Brodziak, okay? This guy, like, that's what you want from your players. And I'm not saying you got to be this way, that way, but just show me an effort. Like, even when they lose bad, like Kyle Brodziak's out there, and I look at him, and I say, it's a guy who's trying. They're down 6-0 right now, but that's a guy who's still battling. He's still trying. He's winning his faceoffs. He's blocking a shot. He's getting a shot on net. So, anyways, I just think that what my point is, you try to identify a player on the roster that you think, as a management team, this is the personality that I'd like my team to have, every single player. So now I'm going to match up when I scout a player. Let's say you're that player, Cromes, okay, and identify Jim Cromer as my guy that I want my culture to look like. So then I look at Darren Kimball and I say, you know, X, Y, Z, he's good at this, blah, blah, blah. Now, how does Darren Kimball personality or his culture, what does it compare to Cromer's? And I look and I go, well, pretty damn similar. I think these guys can help us. You know, boom. Now, all of a sudden, Kimby's in the mix. Or if I don't think he can help us, or I don't think he's got that win-at-all-cost mentality, I look for another player who matches his numbers and find the guy that wants to do it more.
And to your question that you said, I think this is me thinking, and Rivs has brought this up before on other shows about how it's not Yo's team yet, because he come in and caught on the back end of Hitchcock last year, and basically you brought the same team back just about as you had last year to see what was going to happen. I believe there's someone in the organization who is. They're riding the coattails of some players that they've rode these coattails and it hasn't worked out. That's my own view of it, and as whoever's a fan of Stastny or whatever, and I'm not bad mouthing. I'm just saying his numbers are sort of there. You know, he's going to go to Winnipeg and we'll see what happens. But
7 points in 6 games.
Yeah, but I don't think it was here. We were riding that here, and I think, I'm not going to sit here and call guys out. But there's other guys that are in that ball game, and I think they've rode these coattails, and I think Blues fans need to see a change at some point in time. They need to change their horses up front, because their horses up front aren't leading these guys to the right watering hole right now.
Well, you know what? As much as it pains me, I read a good article from Bernie Miklas. That would pain me. It pained me. My ears were freaking bleeding. My eyes were bleeding. I had stomach cramps. I had to go to the bathroom after I read it.
Who did he copy it off of then?
Well, he may have copied it, but however.
This is the second time you've mentioned his name in the show.
Well, that's been the second time he's actually talked about the Blues then. Anyways, he had in his article that this could be the end of an era. And now we talk about an era. Doesn't always mean it's been a fantastic time, right? Now, it's been a good time. Don't get me wrong. They've had a good run here. But he talked about Backes, Oshie, Steen, Berglund. No, that whole core guys that came in, he's talking about how this might be the end of an era, meaning it's time to flip the page and start your next era, which is, you know, Fabry, Tarasenko, Schwartz, Shen. Like, that's your new era. Yeah. Kyrou, Thomas, Thompson. So maybe that's, you know, like you just said, I guess basically agreeing with you, saying that maybe it's time for a new era of Blues.
Yeah, I think so.
If you're going to have a new era of Blues, can you completely go that route, or do you have to start adding some pieces?
You're handcuffed.
Outside?
Well, you're handcuffed.
Because of the contract,
it's just, it
right?
is what it is. Unfortunately, you can't clean shop like you used to be able to. You used to be able to trade. You used to find a Red Wings team that would pick up your high-priced player, and they'd flip them to somebody else and eat half the salary. You used to be able to play ball like that, but now you can't.
But I think there's a way out of this, Ribs. I really do. And I said this on the show last time.
Kimby's got pictures
days.
Of someone. That's
no,
what
I wish
that's
I did. But I think you got a whole young crew going to get ready to roll into this system. So I think you could use their salary against getting rid of some of these other ones. You might have to eat some to get rid of some. Your GM's got to do a little thinking.
The problem
here
is the term.
Yeah.
Right? So you eat salad. Let's bring up your best friend.
Or you
let's bring up Berglund.
Or you buy some shit out, maybe, and it's going to cost you and it's going to hurt you in, yes, the, in the growing process.
I just don't know if financially we're in a spot, yeah, as a team. And I know the group that owns the Blues have put in a lot of money and they pay to the cap. You know, they're, yeah, we're a cap team. However, when you're buying out players, that means you're to the cap then plus whatever millions of dollars that, yeah, you have to add on there to pay a guy to basically not, he's basically paying a guy to not come back.
Yeah.
And
but I think you got to be careful though, Ribs, because
but you can't buy a guy out with 4 years left on his deal.
No, but there could be a way.
You can't.
He's got to work his magic here to try to find where he can go if he can.
4 years on Berglund left at, yeah, a 4.7 annual average.
I know. I'm trying to find a spot here where you can get to these young kids coming in and using that salary against that out and trying to kick it and find a way in the middle here. Because you don't, I wouldn't be bringing young kids in and watching that nonsense running around up here right now. So I'll tell you that right now.
But I'm just saying, CBA, and someone, if someone knows different, can correct me if
I'm not disagreeing.
Not you, but I'm just saying, overall, you have to have, I believe, 2 years left on your contract and you can be bought out for those final 2 years. 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I don't think you can. And so I'd have to look at the roster again. I think Steen has, what, 3 years left?
Yeah, three or four.
3 years left, I think. Berglund's got 4 years left. And if I'm changing the era, okay, not that I don't.
What if Army gets a different GM job with a different team and he takes his two players with him?
Well, Army's got 4 years left on his deal. So, you
I'm
know
trying,
what
I, man. I'm
no,
trying.
I know. But, I mean, you know where I'm headed with this, okay? I'm trying to just, I'm trying to be analytical on this.
We got three more years of Steen.
Yikes. Oh, yeah. Yikes. Three more?
Three more after
so
this
he can't even be bought out. Him, the only guy that can be bought out, believe it or not, is Bouwmeester.
You know what? That'd be a hell of a fourth line, though, for us pretty soon. Well, Berglund, yeah, Steen, and someone else.
It's a high-priced fourth line.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Kimby's boy.
And some of these guys, like, I'd have to go through their no-trade clause. Some of them have a no-trade, which is you could essentially waive them and send them to the minors. You could, and they still have a portion.
The only reason I'm saying it, though, is, and basically, and I think you understand where I'm going with this. If you're going to switch to your new, like, have I believe Mr. Shen's going to be one of your leaders going forward, just what he's showing. If you're going to ride with Tarasenko and Schwartzy, oh, perfect. Go ahead, run with this with your captain. You're going to bring in new talent. You don't bring in a boatload of young talent and still have a couple of hanger-oners around here. And I'm not – Steen and them guys have had a great career. I'm not taking nothing away from the man.
No, I get it.
If we're changing the era, if we're flipping the page. It's got to go.
The problem, I guess – my side of it, and it's not really a stance, is technically,
yeah,
we can't do it.
I understand what you're saying.
And that's the only problem I have with it, is I hate to live. Sometimes I love to live in fantasy world, and sometimes I don't, because it's like you really can't do anything about it. I could hope and wish and pray,
yeah,
but at the end of the day, unless we find somebody that's, you know, going to take it over. Now, we may have to eat up, like, some of these contracts that have flowed over the couple of years. Like, yeah, goddamn, Chris Pronger's contract got traded like three times, yep, at the end of his career just so people would eat up salary.
Yep.
Maybe we'll have to do one of those where a team has a player that's, you know, out on the sidelines and we take his contract, yep, but in return we give him that team one of ours.
Yep. That's so, like, character out in Arizona. He loves to do that stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He does. Very analytical.
Analytic, yeah. Yeah, here, analyze this contract, which is awful. Sorry. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it is.
Oh, boy.
That's all I got.
So, we had said a little bit on the show last week what we thought we would need to stay in contention here. You know, Blues fans are still holding hope, I think, that they'll make the playoffs. We talked a little bit earlier that it's going to be really tough. Darren, you had tweeted out that you felt like if they get this win against Anaheim, that's a good – listen, if you go on the West Coast swing there and you come home with 4 out of 6 points, that's typically a good road trip out west.
Typically.
But is it good enough in this instance?
No, these three were real critical right now because, yeah, they're fighting with these guys.
Yeah, but they're 5 points behind right now.
No, three.
Five.
Three.
Five.
80 and 77 is what I just looked
at
this morning.
I'm telling you.
Uh-oh, it's a math contest.
I think they're 5 points behind the wild card spot. Well, I'm just going to go out there on it.
Cromer, where are you? How come you're not doing
And I'm pulling it up right now.
I'm on it right now.
The Blues are 3 points.
Ah!
God damn it! That's like a kick right in the left nut. Not both, but just one. Damn it!
Jeez Louise.
And they got two teams to jump in the middle there, but they got two games on Calgary.
But Calgary's—they're not in. They're not the issue.
No, they're not.
Colorado, to me, and Dallas are the issue because Dallas doesn't seem like they're going to be slowing down too much. They're still getting points.
Yeah, Dallas is—they're heading out here on a six-game road swing. They lost their first one, so we'll see what that road swing can.
Colorado and Anaheim and San Jose are the only three teams to me in spitting distance of this. But the problem is we've got LA that's right there at 79 points, 1 point out with the same amount of games as the Blues. So,
but look at that LA team. Like I said, you don't know what you're getting there because that's
But if they put four games together,
yeah. But what I'm saying is though, if what we just talked about, so you got your number one line back together, and if Jake keeps playing the way he is, they went out if you come back, and I don't care if you go on a three-game road trip, and if you get 4 out of 6 points, that's good anywhere in any game. So you've done yourself right to stay in the business. I'm not saying they're getting there. I'm just saying they've done themselves right so far. They needed to find confidence. They were playing horseshit hockey, and they've got a big win. You know, it could be fool's gold. I don't know what it's going to be.
This is a huge game.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the standings right now. And the Blues have played 68 games. The Ducks have played 69. And the Blues are 3 points behind. So let's just say the Blues pick up that win with that game in hand. So that puts them at 79 and 80. So now the head-to-head matchup tonight would put the Blues ahead of Anaheim by 1 point with that game in hand, if they win that game in hand. So we talk about four-point games. Well, this is massive.
Yeah. Well, huge.
So as a fan, this is where I don't like the point system in the NHL. I hate the 1 point. I'm sorry.
It should go to Europe. 3 points for a regulation win, 2 points for an overtime win, 1 point for an overtime loss.
Somebody just put that out there. I just saw that last week.
It's really the easiest way to do it, because if you want to keep your overtime to where it's exciting and you can go for it because you still get your 1 point, if you eliminate the 1 point, you're going to end up with like 3-on-3. Like, I mean, defensively, like it used to be. Remember, overtime was almost useless back in our day?
Yeah.
Like, you play at 5 minutes, 5-on-5, and nobody wanted to get scored on.
Yeah.
So you go 3 points for a regulation victory, 2 points for an overtime victory, because you really weren't good enough to get, you know, the 3 points, and the other team gets the 1 point. So there's 3 points on the line all the time. It depends how you cut them up. And that's the way I would do it.
I was going to ask you guys, as players, if you liked the kissing your sister, basically, the 1 point. Hey,
I like it because, you know what, two things. One, you battled hard enough in the game to finish regulation time tied. It should be worth something. And then I think in order to keep the overtimes exciting to where teams are going for it, to where, like, if we're an Eastern team playing a Western team, the coach is going to say, hey, we got our 1 point. Let's go after two. Point number two is a bonus. And so you're going to play it. Sometimes you have three forwards on the ice, and it's exciting. Otherwise, you're going to end up with three defensemen on the ice, and it's going to be boring.
You know, back in the when they brought the shootout part in, the fans got to the point where they liked it, but I think since the three-on-three come in on the overtime, I would stop it there, and I would make them try to gun for this thing, because they're going to try to – three-on-three opens it up so much, and you see a lot of scoring chances going on.
Tons
so,
of two-on-one.
You know, you're doing what you can there, and I think I get to that point there, and now the shootout, I know there's some fans that like the – but that's – it gets down to – and I'm not going there. Well, I'm going to – well, Olympics hockey – goes on, and that's how it's decided. You know, you fight all for 4 years, and it comes down to a shoot. That's not how hockey's played. So, but the 3-on-3 gives you that option. You know, at least you're playing hockey still.
Yeah.
So, I'd like to get away from the shootout part again. Go back to making it realistically. I don't care if you tie. Then if you tie, you tie. Good. Get the hell out of here.
But I think that's more of a disaster then.
But at least you tried with a 3-on-3. Yeah. You know,
I'm okay
just play
right
3-on-3 till the game's over. It's not going to last.
You can't do that because you got Cromer. Think about it. Never mind the length of the games. Think about your advertising. Think about your spots, your TV spots. Think about the employees you'd have to pay. Think about the cameraman that has to stay. You can't do it. It's just not fiscally responsible.
How long can a 3-on-3 game go though? I mean, well, I guess it could if the goal. I mean,
but
I
as soon
know.
As you as soon as you roll over into that next half hour, everybody's on payroll again for the hour.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
And you're advertising your spots now. Now you've gone over your quota for the game. So now advertisers and sponsors got to pay extra for that extra time because they got to pay the people to run the TV.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
That's business.
So they can't turn the cameras on without the sponsorship. which means basically then the TV channel or Fox Sports Midwest has to go and say, hey, by the way, we need another hour's worth of sponsorship.
Truth be told, I don't mind the way it's set up now as far as the system. Like, I like the 3-on-3, then the shootout. I can go with that.
I mean, okay with it, too.
I mean, if they said we're just going to do 3-on-3, I wouldn't argue with that either because I think the 3-on-3 is really exciting, like you said. The shootout the other night between Nashville and was it Boston was really good. I don't forget who Nashville was playing, but I watched it. I watched it on TV in
Nashville
a bar.
Nashville and New Jersey? Or Nashville, Boston?
I was in a bar. The sound wasn't on. I could see it across. But, you know, they went to like 6-7 rounds, scored, answered, finally scored, save. I mean, it was real exciting. It was in Nashville's building, kind of stuck it up their ass. So that was kind of good, too. But the truth of the matter is, I don't like anything ever where if you lose, you get a point. Yeah. Fuck that. I don't want it. I think it should.
I get it, but I think to keep the level of competition up, to keep the excitement factor, it's not like you have to guarantee. It's just like, let me compare it to this. You're in Vegas, okay? And you're betting, right? But if I tell you it's all or nothing all the time, no matter what you bet, it's all or nothing, you get nothing in return, which, I mean, I know that's how it is, right? But how much more aggressive would you bet if you knew you could get a little bit back? You'd be a lot more aggressive, therefore making that table more exciting to watch. So that's my comparison.
That's what the trap back in the days when they went to this system, that's what they're trying to get away from because people, like Riv says, five guys are coming back and you're not even trying to take chances. They'll go with the 3-on-3. They'll try to do that shit too, and you know you're just working for a tie.
I guess if you do the system you meant, like that you brought up, that I was going to ask you about the 3 points for the over.
I think that gives you.
It's almost like a 3-point pass that can get you back in the race. Like,
and it motivates you to win in regulation too. You don't just hang on for the tie. Like, teams will be playing more aggressive in regulation to get that 3 points, especially if you're like the Blues right now, where you got to make up ground.
Yeah.
Why would you want to go to overtime? I'd be like, holy shit, we need our. You push. We need the 3 points.
Right. No, that's why I like that. I just hate the whole tie thing. I understand it. I get it. And, you know, I guess I didn't think about the business side of it. But golly, I like the push. I like the, like you said, the push. And if you did that, I think you'd get more of it, which would be fine. It does beg the question then. So hypothetically, Blues go on this trip. They're facing Anaheim. You know, what's Anaheim going to do? They're going to play as defensively the whole game as they possibly can.
Well, they need the points, too, unfortunately, because Colorado's right on their heels. They're 1 point behind them, so they need the points.
Yeah. I guess I'm looking at the head-to-head matchup thinking, well, we can't let the Blues have 3 points. Let's see, because that's what this is all about right now, right?
Like, but you got to take that out of consideration because right now it's Western Conference.
Right, but the hardest part right now for the Blues is think about this. Every year it seems like this, and me and my friends talk about it every year. You get into this thing where, unfortunately, the Blues have been here before, right? Like, they're trying to get in. So you start scoreboard watching, and what do you always notice? They tied. They got a point. Yeah. God, couldn't they hold them? They got a point.
And but at the end of the day, then, shouldn't the Blues just be trying to get a point?
Yeah, but you can't make up ground getting a point.
That's why regular season's so important now.
Yeah.
And if I'm looking at
the
standings,
they should have got some points.
They should have. But Anaheim has got 80 points with 69 games played, and Colorado has 80 points with 68 games played. So guess what? This game for Anaheim
is
pretty damn important.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, look, it is what it is right now, the way it currently is. In the future, I think the quickest way to making it right is 3 points for the victory, outright regulation, 2 points for an overtime victory or shootout victory, and 1 point for an overtime or shootout loss.
You see any momentum towards something like that? Or
I think there is some talk. I think, unfortunately, right now the biggest point of discussion is goaltender interference in the NHL. So I think that's going to be the number one thing thrown on the table.
It's like the catch rule. Can we figure out?
I was commenting on that last night.
Yeah, your boy Grant Fuhr chimed in.
Well, but did you see that goal? Now let's just talk about that. We didn't talk about the Dumoulin goal for Pittsburgh. He drives wide, goes underneath the D-man. He's going to avoid the goalie. Ron Hainsey body checks him into the goalie slightly, just slightly.
He barely touched
him. And he buries the goal. And not only call the goal back, they give him a goddamn interference penalty.
Yeah.
So you go from playing strong power hockey She's sitting in the box, and it goes from being 3-1 to 4-0 because of it. Like, NHL, you got to get it right.
I've never seen this much commotion about something so simple.
We got Grant Fuhr, who, okay, let's just bring up Grant Fuhr for a second. Nick Kiprios falls on Grant Fuhr because of Chris Pronger. Prong's fault. Now, did Kiprios throw himself at the same time? Yes. However, Prong's did give it to him. And so he fell on Fuhr as he blew out his knee and probably cost us the Stanley Cup that year because we had a hell of a team. We're not going to go through all that again.
Sure.
However, you got a guy who blew out his knee as a goalie telling the hockey world that it's a joke,
yeah,
that these goalies aren't fine porcelain that is sitting in there that are going to get cracked every time. I think it's obvious that the goaltender interference is someone who clearly goes into the blue paint on their own, disrupts the goalie, or doesn't get out of it, prohibiting it from making a save. It's easy.
I'll sum this up for you as about as simple as it can be done, because I think this is, in general in life, you run through this shit. These referees, back in the day, they didn't have to go answer to a thing, so they would make the call as they would see it. So now you got all this new generation of referees, and I can't blame them for this because they're making a call they're getting help. They're getting help from someone in Toronto or whatever they're doing. And if you like it, where I work at or whatever you work at, if you're doing something and you think it's going to get you in trouble, you're going to take a second thought about that and go, and you're going to try to get to a different direction instead of making that right call. That's what the world is right now. So you got cameras everywhere and people are going to have different views of it and all that. But back in the day, if you just made the call, people might be pissed off with it, but they were going to get over it because you made the call, and then the media would go and try to blow it up. But I think where you're getting into this shit is the referee can't even make the call because he knows he's going to the booth and he's listening to somebody.
That's the thing, is he's literally being told what the call
exactly.
is.
Exactly. And they're not even getting a chance. So, and that would piss me off as a referee, because I see what I see, and some joker up here in Toronto now, he's going to say what he says. So now he's putting doubt into my head. So now I'm going to think, what's the next step?
Remove all referees from the ice and then just have cameras on the game and they sound the horn when there's a penalty?
That's what they'll try to go.
But you see what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
So anyways, I just think that to clear it up, to make it really black and white, is pretty simple. That any player who enters the blue paint on his own without being pushed, shoved, or tripped or anything and makes contact with the goalie, prohibiting that goalie from either making a save or scoring on the same play, that's the penalty. That's the no goal. Yeah. If he gets pushed in, that's on your team. That's your fault. If he's in the crease and doesn't make his way out of the crease and the goalie can't get around him, overtop him, whatever, and there's a goal, it's no goal because he's not out of the crease. He didn't make the effort. So I think it's really easy.
Yeah.
Honestly, I look at these calls and I'm like, that's a no-brainer. It's easy.
And they make some stupid-ass story about it.
Yeah, they're like, well, his heel hooked the butt end. Well, guess what? Do you know how many times I watched Dominic Hasek drop his stick because it was tied up in guys and flop over without a stick to make a save? Mm-hmm. Where's the goalie interference on that one?
Yep.
Didn't exist. No. Dominic Hasek, where is he? Hall of Fame.
No, they've turned us into a shit show this part, and they're getting egg on their face for doing it too. And you know what?
Now they're shaking, waving the finger, going, "Stop talking mean about us." Did you see that?
Yeah,
they're telling coaches and media, "Quit talking mean about us."
But then you go into that word, and you go into the real work world, and you say the word common sense, and they don't know what that fucking word means anymore. So I guess common sense means nothing. So because you could just look at a play, and you could pretty well sum, especially you have four referees on the ice, and I'm guarantee you, out of the four, three of them have seen what went on. And just let them talk for a second, and they'll figure it out, and boom. But you're going to go somewhere, video, and then this jackass somewhere is going to say, well, this is the way I see it. And
here's what I think would help. Take the headphones away from the referees.
Mm-hmm.
Make the four of them go over to the damn video thing, watch it together without the influence of somebody yip, yip, yip in their ear. Let them make the call.
For sure.
Now, guess what? Now the referees are now making the calls.
But that's
again.
Their job. So yeah, let them run the damn thing. That's their job.
But right now.
And then you know what? And then Rivs. And then if that didn't work out for you in Toronto or New York or wherever the fuck you're doing your shit at, if that didn't work out, then you go talk to the referee after the game's over.
Well, you send him an email or a text and say, call me after the game.
And let's talk about, but not right at that time.
No, let him make the goddamn call.
Exactly.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Imagine what playoffs are going to look like.
Oh,
this shit show.
Oh,
it's going to be worse than the fucking toe in the crease fucking year.
Well, it's pretty evident we've moved on to our innovative construction, heating and cooling and electric.
I'm heated, all right.
Well, and again, special thanks to Randy and Stephanie Green, that the innovativecompanies.com for everything they do for our show. If we're going to talk about hot and cold, especially with Blues fans right now, I have a topic that seems to have gotten pretty hot on social media that I want to get both your guys' take on.
Uh-oh.
And we talked a little bit about term and length of contracts and things that probably could have benefited us in the long run. Now, obviously, I don't think anybody thought we'd be sitting here. Obviously, Army probably thought we were had a better team, better makeup, whatever. But David Perron has become a social media darling to Blues fans right now. There's no doubt.
And people imagine that.
People are really upset that this guy wasn't protected. Yes. And in hindsight, okay, and in hindsight, you're looking at we could have exposed some contracts with length, right? That being said, there's a whole lot of people here saying that, for starters, that Perron obviously should have been protected. He'd be leading the Blues in points, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to put you guys on the spot and get your take. Who wants to go first?
I will.
Oh, man.
Dave, Mr. Perron, to me, this is me again, is what Mr. Berglund is, what Mr. Steen is. That's I'm just going there. That's what he is to this team right now.
He was on this team.
Yeah. So when he was here, that's what he was doing. Now, change of scenery, change of place, change of coach, I don't know what it is, but so he's that whole team up in Vegas has bought into something. So if you don't buy into it up there right now, you look like an idiot, because everyone's bought into what Gallant's doing. But when he was here, I used to sit at the TV and yell at the TV because he would stick handle himself into the corner, and he's great stick handler, unbelievable. But he'd sit there stick handling the corner, and guys are open, and he wasn't giving it. So that's the total right move to do. The perfect. That's where he belonged. That's the guy that should have went there. I got nothing wrong with that.
Okay, so here's where I'm going to go with this. Two-part answer to this. First part is we protected Ryan Reeves in order not to lose him, and Ryan Reeves is now in Vegas, and so is David Perron. So why didn't we just expose Ryan Reeves? Okay, so that's my first one. Meaning, look what happened, right? Now I know we got the draft picks.
Yeah,
I get it, okay? Yeah. But I'm just saying.
That's the hot and cold, baby. Where's that guy at?
Yeah, well, he's beating the piss out of our other prospects. So anyways.
We're coming back to that, by the way.
That's fine. David Perron, okay? And this is where I think you need to separate things a little bit. David Perron, first go around with the Blues. I will agree with you 100%.
Yep.
Came in as a young guy, stick handling the shit out of the puck, white skates, all this stuff that, you know, and I'm not, you know, it is what it is, right? The game is...
You know what that is. That's the Frenchman.
It is what it is. And coming from me, a guy who did a lot of stupid shit as a young kid coming into the league, this personality, yep. I'm okay with it. He left, went to Edmonton, went to Pittsburgh, came back to the Blues, and I thought David Perron came back a far better player.
I agree with that.
Okay, and in last year's playoffs, although he didn't have a lot of points, he was a guy that showed me that he was ready to go. He was battling. He was in front of the net. He took some stupid penalties. There's no doubt about it. However, he took those penalties because he was involved in doing shit. So here's where I am right now on David Perron. Through his maturation as a hockey player, he would have helped us tremendously this year. Now, because he would have lost Hitch, okay, because Hitch really handcuffed David Perron, didn't like that freewheeling, didn't like that creative, didn't like the way he played. Let's just be honest, didn't like it. Mike Yeo may have encouraged that, and we talked about all year having those two lines of scoring, right? What if David Perron could have had a chance on the Shen Schwartz line? With the way he moves the puck, with the way he's creative, with the way I think we're seeing right now, shit, David Perron is playing the point on the power play in Las Vegas and putting up a point a game. We lost Shattenkirk. You know, we tried to force feed guys in on the point on the power plays here. Wouldn't he be a nice fit? The way he handles the puck, the way he moves it, like, now think about the more mature, new David Perron, who, like, not the one when he came in at 18. Yep.
I totally agree with you, and he totally would have been helpful here this year. Here, the only problem, and not that we're not, I like the discussion of it, but when the draft was going on out there, the expansion draft, whatever Army has that conversation with McPhee out there, you don't know what that conversation. Why did they put Perron on the table? Why was he there?
Well, I know
obviously,
why.
McPhee wanted him, but was there a return favor coming back in a sense that they were going to tag up for 1 year? Maybe that was part of the deal to go to San Antonio. We don't know that. We weren't in that conversation.
Well, but Vegas is in Chicago.
Yeah, well, I meant Chicago. Chicago. Maybe there's a reason why
but
that
maybe
happens.
There's something we coming this year at the draft. Yeah, like, I know you don't know that, okay? Yeah. And we can do 1,000 conspiracy
correct
theories.
But,
I get
but that's
it
putting him out there. I was from day one, I'm on the record, and you can go back and tape, Berglund was the guy that was set free for me. So that's where I was going.
I guess that's where I'm headed with it, too, is knowing what we know and knowing what we did kind of know, and I thought David Perron was more effective last year.
He was.
As well. Mm-hmm. Imagine where, like, Patrick Berglund can't play the point on the power play.
But I can't be a shithead here and go back there and say that, because if you told me this, if Perron was going out, I would have accepted that back in the day, too. I just, that was me. And
I just thought he put up enough points last year to where I was like, I don't see where the offense is going to come, especially third line coming into this year. I still didn't see where the offense was going to come to replace his, what do you have, 16 goals or 18 goals last year? Like, that's still pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
And so, like, especially for a third liner.
Plus, he's a guy on the power play, which I think they're missing big time because they need a guy that can sit there and control the damn thing and run the damn thing.
That's, well, he is a power play breakout himself, right? Because he handles
18 goals.
18 goals. How many points last year?
46.
So 46 points on the third line. And he
might have paid off big time on your power play being here because I think he controls the situation.
I would rather have traded away a long contract. Or not traded away, exposed contract to get rid of him. Because what's killing
us?
What have we talked about at length right now? What is killing us for trying to get this thing fixed? It's term.
Yeah,
it's term.
I mean, if you kept him and it didn't work out, he was gone. After 1 year, he's gone.
Yeah, he had one
more. Or you could have traded him or done.
He's unrestricted coming up, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's like we got a bunch of bad politicians, Grooms. Term limit.
The show's turn political.
Term limit.
Geez, here we go.
I'm just going term limit. That's all I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
You're stuck with him for 4 years.
I just look back at it, and, I have a bit of a relationship with David Perron, and I think that he's a good guy. I think that he's a good kid.
He got better. He's gotten better.
He's changed tremendously, right? And I guess that's why I had to mention the fact that let's separate his two tours of duty in St. Louis and his most recent one.
But just the power play alone. So if he sat on that power play and contributed, and that he might have been able to have you 5 or 6 more points in the standings because the power play has been horseshit.
Yeah.
You know, so and power play, obviously you're going to get 5 or 7 chances a game.
Yeah.
So there's a guy on the ice that can control and maybe move that around. I
agree. I think that he would have been a positive difference maker. So I guess that's your answer, Chromes.
There's my answer. Right again. Boy, whew.
he lets us answer and says, right again.
Yeah. Well, and that's our InnovatedCompanies.com segments. Thanks again, of course, to Construction, Heating and Cooling Team and Electric. It gets hot and cold in here sometimes, and David Perron definitely, I would say, qualifies as one of those players for us over the time. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman. Thanks, Randy. We appreciate everything you do for us. Let's get into some of our other segments. We're on the bench with Butter here. Tommy Brown, a tax preparation and tax consultant. So how do you guys play this thing the rest of the way out? Do you kind of go with that freewheeling style?
Get the
D more involved on the way out here.
You got to whip that horse until it can't move anymore. That's my feelings.
I think they showed you what they're going to do. So they put their line back together, the big line. They're going to run with it, and hopefully the guy back in the net there stands solid. And I think that's the story you're going to get.
He's played pretty well.
The last couple of games he played
The last two games he's been incredible, guys. Yeah. Let's just be honest.
Exactly.
Here. In San Jose, he's the only reason you had a chance to even win that game or come close to it.
Yeah.
So this then in L.A., he stood on his head, but that first half of the game until the doors blew open, he was a big part of it. I like the way he's playing.
He squared LA the puck. Game, though. You're in a. It was just an up and down shit show going on. There was not much defense in that.
Talk about a time where you need your goalie,
and
right?
That's what I mean. And he stood on his head, so he's there to play. If he stays there, good.
To me, what I look at with Jake Allen is I watched a few games from last year's playoffs, and then I watched a few games from when he struggled last year. He's managing the paint better. And what that means is he's quieter in his crease. And all that means is he's not flailing around as much. Yeah. And I think through his span of where things went rough for him, he was almost overplaying. and leaving more holes to shoot at.
He was like second guessing himself.
Yeah, it's like he wanted to come up with this spectacular save, but in doing so, he's exposing more of the net at some point. And so, to me, he looks more square, controlled, all that stuff. He's looking a lot quieter.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we move into this thing here, and I want to get, I have another topic that needs to be discussed. So we want to thank our good friend who we went on the bench with Butter, Tommy Brown Tax Planning, TommyBrown-EA.com. So let's get into our amateur hockey before we get out of here because I know we're up against time. I saw some stuff going around on social media yesterday, and Jamie, I know how involved you are in this. Darren, you are to some degree with amateur hockey in St. Louis with your. You know, you've been involved in the different organizations and stuff. So
high school now.
Yeah, high school coach.
Granite City. Oh,
yeah, geez. GC in the house.
California Penal League.
Hey, listen, that's another thing I see. I see the Granite City Warrior faithful, all friends of ours, are excited. I mean, I've never seen as many tweets about Granite City. It was awesome. You're not messing around. You've got them Blackhawks jerseys coming back. Is that you or was that Justin?
Was Justin.
I was going to say, yeah, those are good. You guys are not.
There's a little bit of Ottawa Senator look to it.
I was going
to
say.
Stripes coming around.
Yeah,
and then,
but let me tell you, those are nice.
They're sweet looking.
Hey, you guys are going to look good. You're going to have the big guy on the bench. It's going to roll. Yeah. But so I saw this going on, and let's thank our sponsors for this, SynergyHockeySkills.com. Jamie, of course, everything you do for amateur hockey in St. Louis. The Nelson family, NelsonLandServices.com. Don't forget to check them out. Professional landscaping at reasonable prices. 5-star, locally rated company. Make sure you give them an opportunity for your business. NelsonLandServices.com. Saw some tweets going around. The hockey community, like, there's a whole bunch of people excited about this Top Golf thing going in Chesterfield. Did you see these?
No.
But the hockey community wants to tear this thing down because evidently.
That's not fair.
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
I mean,
it's not their fault.
No. Nope. I mean, it is. Like, they are all over the guy that owned that. Like he sold us out for.
Is it up yet?
It's close.
And let me tell you, I had no idea they even started the damn thing.
Oh, this thing's massive.
And I see these things come up, and like people are like it. They drive by it on their way to a 30 or 40 minute drive somewhere else hockey.
But they'll be sitting in there getting half crocked playing the game too. So
they will be. Yeah.
Well, and I just
especially
thought
out there,
you know, and people are kind of upset, obviously. And you know what? It's personal for some people. So. What's going on? You got any updates for that crowd? Like, what's going on with some rinks? Because, you know, you guys are in need of some rinks. There was a lot of speculation. Like, people were saying, I hear we're going to have it here. So, I mean, just anything you can probably share, the fans would probably appreciate that.
What I can tell you is that the Chesterfield project looks like it's got some legs and that there's possibility of them breaking ground in May, which would make it a 2-year project. So, still quite a bit of work to do there. The Blues practice facility that was scheduled to be over in Maryland Heights, Creve Coeur Lake area, it looks like that may shift. I think it is shifting over towards the Hollywood Casino. I believe the Hollywood Casino is partnering up with the St. Louis Blues in order to make that area, that vacant area over there, fill it up and make, you know, generate a lot of business through the amphitheater, the hockey rink for a bunch of championships, tournaments, nationals, all that you can imagine. And then as well, obviously, the casino with all their stuff that's going on there. So once again, I believe that that's maybe a June, speculating a June breaking ground for that. And then again, probably a 2-year project. So, and then, of course, we can't forget our friends down in Afton, who they're still working diligently on putting up a 2-sheet rink right next to their current facility. And I don't have a timeline on that. I just know that they're working really hard on it. So hopefully within the next 2 years, you know, we'll end up with 4 sheets near the Hollywood Casino, 2 in Chesterfield and 2 in Afton. Adds up to 8.
Be 4 sheets? That's what they're talking about with the Blues practice?
Yeah, it'd be three indoor and 1 outdoor.
Oh, that'd be kind of
nice. Yeah, it'd be kind of neat. Certainly trying to in the winter months, help out teams with practices and whatnot and special games and tournaments and things like that.
That'd be kind of interesting, yeah.
And then in the summertime, looking to do either roller hockey or street hockey. Now, they have ball hockey, they call it here, but that's really popular now where they're putting teams together and having tournaments. So anyway, either way, in the next 2 to 3 years, hopefully we have 8 more sheets that are hitting the St. Louis area.
Well, that should be some
hopefully
good news. But man, I some of the stuff that went on in this thread was like these people were not happy.
Well, but listen, here's the deal, okay? All these people who weren't happy, they're allowed to be upset, okay? Because we lost Hardy's Iceplex, and it was a the number one hockey hub in the city and all this stuff. However, there was plenty of opportunity for multiple groups or individuals to step in and buy it and keep it going. Whether it was not communicated properly, whether it was not done right, whether they just missed the boat, whatever, it didn't get purchased. And I know that the purchase price was very, very, very reasonable, to say the least. Okay? So people didn't step up. Organizations didn't step up. Corporations didn't step up. Whoever's not happy didn't find a way to step up and purchase this thing. So at the end of the day, as a business, when you're talking about dollars and cents, you don't make money with an ice rink, by the way. Certainly not the first or second owner. The third guy might make some money because all the bullshit's been paid for and taken care of and already been bankrupt and bills are gone. So it costs a lot of money. So therefore, would you keep taking it in the shorts every year just because? He put it up for sale. He made, you know, he talked to the groups that were involved. People had the opportunity to buy it. Finally, Top Golf swooped in and said, you know what? That's Chesterfield. That's a hell of a market.
Is that,
we're going to buy it.
Is that the biggest issue, is that I think the general public probably thinks, what do you mean? They're probably right now listening to this, the people that were upset about it, and are going, what the hell are you talking about, Jamie? We pay $200 an hour for ice, and how can they not make money?
Well, because the going rate in most markets is $400 right now, and the money that it takes to run the generators, the coolers, the everything that you got, the ice maker.
But you also got to remember, Chrome, so you're running, just even if you're running $300 an hour, from 7 in the morning till 3 in the thing, you're really not using that ice because there's
dead ice.
School's in. So you're not even getting a chance to do that. So yeah. And then when you get to the summertime, you're trying to run camps, and it's hard because now baseball season's kicking off, so you're fighting that system. But you're only got a short period of, 3 hours to, you know, maybe
prime
8
time.
Hours or
yeah.
something.
Usually
maybe.
From, 4 to midnight.
Yeah.
And that's if you have good men's leagues teams.
Yeah.
So, No, I just...
It's a tough animal.
And that's kind of where I was going with this. I don't know that everybody looks at the whole picture. They kind of look at their own picture.
To turn on the lights is like $180 just to turn them on.
It's a tough animal.
So
And you know what? Hockey's gone in different directions, too. It's not like back in the day where one team was going on that ice. Now organizations are throwing three teams on the ice. So it's, you know, that's lessening the ice.
Spread
button,
their,
you know?
Yeah. Well, they have to for multiple reasons. We could go on for an hour about where we're at.
Exactly.
But well, hopefully, positively, in the next couple of years, we have 8 sheets added to the St. Louis area.
Well, that should help.
Hopefully.
And again, so, well, thank you. Appreciate you. Again, I know people would want to hear about that. I know we have the David Perron questions that were going on Twitter. So you guys, good stuff. I guess we'll see what happens. This, like I said, I think, you know, you had kind of had tweeted out there that this was 3 games, do or die. I think we kind of settled here today. If we win this thing tonight, we're still in this, kind of.
Thing that I'll always remember, too, Chromes, at this point in time, Guy Lafleur told me when I first went pro, the first 20 games of the season and the last 20 games of the season is where it all goes on. He says the first 20, you're chasing the playoffs, trying to get yourself positioned for the playoffs, and then the last 20, you're maintaining that to go into the playoffs and set yourself up. So now you're going to start to see, which I like, you're going to start seeing playoff hockey coming down the road here from all teams, not just the Blues, but you're going to have to play your top best hockey if you want to get there. So exciting hockey should be coming down the road.
I'm betting he taught you more than that. Maybe you probably can't share.
Guy Lafleur?
My God. He was my hero growing up. That boy was
unbelievable. The flower power.
He's got stories.
No doubt.
Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate as you join us each and every week. We want to thank our partners, InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget to check out all 3 umbrellas underneath the InnovativeCompanies.com umbrella. You got your construction team, heating and cooling, and the electric. 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman, and Randy Green. Give him an opportunity for your business. He's definitely earned it. Don't forget our friend Tommy Brown as we go on the bench with butter each and every show. That's TommyBrown-EA.com, Tommy Brown Tax Planning. He can help you. SynergyHockeySkills.com, of course. Jamie's in full swing there. Check him out. Camps going on right now, I know, all over the place. And as you heard from these guys, they're doing so much and just trying to use, you know, the rinks that are at their disposal. Probably one close to you, so check them out, SynergyHockeySkills.com. Our friends NelsonLandServices.com as well, don't forget them. Locally owned, professionally rated landscaping company with reasonable prices. Again, there's such a great family involved in the community here, so thanks to them. We don't want to forget Adam Smokehouse and everything they do for the community as well. Make sure you check them out. Happy to have them on board with our friend Dennis Minner live from Minner Arena. Want to thank our social media partners as well. Don't forget St. Louis Blues Fans Unite, our good friend Mick Light with Arch City Sports, everything STL Sports, St. Louis Hockey Beams. Thanks. Those guys have helped us grow the show beyond leaps and bounds. I mean, just crazy, the numbers as they went up as those guys got involved. So thank you so much for all you do. You can find out more about us at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Subscribe to the show there. Do your shopping on Amazon. We can cover some of the production costs here if you guys would do that for us. Simply click that Amazon banner. You're done with us. Doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral. We would greatly appreciate it. Find us on Twitter, at STL Blues Podcast, at NHL Show. We'd appreciate it if you'd follow us. Our big ask, though, go to Facebook, type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like the Facebook page. Invite your friends to like it as well. We'd greatly appreciate it. Thanks to lineupmedia.fm, fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. You'll soon be able to listen to Yo Radio, the newest internet radio station, thanks to those guys. And, of course, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers. You know, we couldn't do it without them. They do a tremendous job. For all the gang here at Blues NHL Podcast, I leave you with a Let's Go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.